All the lights are coming on now. How I wish that it would snow now. I don't feel like going home now. I wish that I could stay. All the trees are on display.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Dr. Keith Presents Christmas Show, and we are here in the Dr. Keith Christmas Mansion, and we have two first-time guests to Keith's palatial estate here. We have family members, Dasher Hatfield and Mr. Touchdown from Chikara, and guys, welcome to Dr. Keith's Christmas Mansion. I hope the Christmas party has been treating you well here so far tonight.
Well, yeah, Christmas is going great around the Hatfield house.
Is this what we get? Is this what the Hatfield Christmas dinner is like? Just everyone talking over each other all the time?
For the most part. There's lots of talking. Lots of eating. We eat well. We talk well.
Mr. Touchdown, you are a figure that's on the tip of everyone's tongue these days for various actions that you have taken part in recently in Chikara. And I got to ask Dasher straight off the bat, excuse the pun, all this heat, so to speak, that your relative has gotten here for his actions with the mysterious and handsome strangers, Pigeon Sapphire, and various other things. Is there any friction? Is there any friction in the household? Will there be friction over the Christmas dinner? That kind of thing. Has Mr. Touchdown gone too far?
I look at it two different ways, really. My first thing is, you know, maybe Touchdown, I'd say, was a bit rough with the Pigeon. You know, he went a little bit overboard, I think. Sometimes you get caught up in the mix of the match and, you know, tempers get going a little bit. But then on the other hand, I kind of look at it like, I don't think the ring is any place for a pigeon to be in the first place.
Like, That's a good point.
If you think about the hundreds of thousands of wrestling maneuvers that could seriously, seriously hurt a pigeon, I don't see why someone would bring a pigeon into the ring. They have very, very little tiny bones that could be broken very easily. You know, the ring is very hard. It's a very hard place, and for a pigeon to get slammed around in there, it's just not a good idea. But as far as me and Touchdown go, you know, we've talked about it, and he's working on it. He knows he has a bit of a temper problem. We've been having anger management, you know, classes and counseling and whatnot. He seems to be getting a little better. But, you know, again, I still think it's the Charlotte Veronica, too, that tends to bring out, you know, the bad, angry side of this boy. When
wow,
he's around me,
man,
none of these things happen. He's always best behavior when he's around me.
I hear the term you use for Veronica there, and is she going to be at the Hatfield Christmas dinner this year, Mr. Touchdown? Or are you bringing her along? Will that be a bone of contention?
You should already know that where I go, Veronica goes. That's my girlfriend. I mean, who doesn't take their own girlfriend to Christmas dinner? And if I could just butt myself in there to the question that you asked my step-cousin-in-law, Dasher Hatfield, about the mysterious and handsome stranger and his Pigeon Sapphire, let's just get one thing straight, that there's no such thing as the mysterious and handsome stranger, because in Under the Hood, we found out who really was under the hood.
Oh.
It was Archibald Peck.
Your nemesis.
Something fishy was about that guy the entire time. He was lurking around the Chikara roster, and I guess I just had to do business where business has to be done, and that's right inside the middle of the ring. And like Hatfield said, where a pigeon doesn't belong.
And you, as you said, you didn't trust this mysterious and handsome stranger. You smell something fishy about him. There was rumors that our pal Dr. Keith might have been even the man under the mask. Was that something you were suspicious of, or were you fairly certain from the outset that this could be Archie?
you know what, at first it didn't bother me, but then, you know, as he started popping up out of nowhere, especially if you got to see night two of King of Trios, you know, there he is, the mysterious handsome stranger just pops out of nowhere. And so be it that Veronica's right at my side, right? Veronica's right there.
I took note that Veronica took a second glance at the mysterious and handsome stranger as well. Maybe even a third glance.
Ooh,
I wouldn't trust her, Touchdown. I wouldn't trust her. I saw it.
Veronica's a beautiful woman, something you would know nothing about.
Mrs. Patrick's quite the looker, lad.
I love the world and my girlfriend.
Now, guys, before this gets out of hand, let's all settle down a little bit here. I know at the Hatfield Christmas dinner, let's talk about nice things and good things. Christmas
Absolutely.
Day at the Hatfield House. What kind of plans are there going to be? Will there be some sporting events taking place? Perhaps some little pigskin, Mr. Touchdown, which you would of course specialize in, or maybe a little bit of baseball. Which, Dasher, I know you would obviously specialize in. So what kind of fun and games go on at the Hatfield household at Christmas? What kind of food do you guys like to enjoy? Give the listeners a little taste of kind of what would be going on Christmas Day with you guys.
Well, it's too cold, you know, to be out there playing baseball. You catch one on the inside, it's going to sting the hands a bit, if you know how that works. But we do. We have an annual little football pigskin matchup there in the yard. Every year we would like it to snow for that to happen because it makes the ground a little softer, you know, a little cushion for the landing. Food-wise, we have just a plethora of delicious foods that the missus cooks up. She has the Christmas ham, fruit cakes, all kinds of delicious cookies. We'd like to undercook chocolate chip cookies a little bit to keep them chewy, if you know what I'm saying. We have all kinds of activities. The missus makes eggnog, which is absolutely to die for. Sometimes Touchdown gets a little bit too much of the eggnog, if you know what I mean. We whisked up an extra side dish of pig slop this year for Veronica. We know she's coming, and she really enjoys her pig slop.
Oh, yeah, real funny, Hatfield. I get it. What a good joke. I bet everyone at home is laughing, too.
I'm sorry, Touchdown, I had to. That was just too easy. But she is sitting at the kids' table, so you know.
Funny.
She's sitting at the kids' table. Yeah, you know, the kids, we do some caroling. We go around the neighborhoods. We sing some songs. The kids like the Rudolph song there. We sing Frosty the Snowman. All kinds of fun stuff. We sing, we even throw in, take me out to the ball game once or twice just to confuse the neighbors. That's always fun. We like to string the popcorn for the tree. You know, you make the tinsel out of the popcorn there for the tree. That's always a good time. All kinds of fun stuff. Touchdown, what do you like to do when you come over for Christmas? What's your favorite event of the Dasher Hatfield family Christmas?
I like to eat Mrs. Hatfield's food.
Yeah, she's a good cook. She's a good cook.
I've seen in the on the Wrestling Is videos, there's a little glimpse where you guys are all around the kitchen table. People can see this on YouTube if they want. And,
up with the Hatfield,
Yeah, and the Mr. Touchdown, I see on those videos, you like to indulge in the tuna fish and the tuna fish juice.
I'm a huge tuna fish fan. As a matter of fact, right before you called me, I opened up the can and stuck to my blender and drank it down like a protein shake. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with tuna fish. I know it's got a lot of mercury, and Hatfield, he gets a little bit worried that that's got to do with my temper. When every time I eat a little too much tuna fish, you know.
Hey, but I did have the missus whip up her famous tuna casserole for you for Christmas. It's going to be there, buddy.
Oh,
I know you love that tuna casserole.
Good.
Yes, it is. It is very good,
Hatfield.
Touchdown, do you have an undefeated streak when it comes to the game of pigskin on Christmas?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, let's just say this. When it comes to picking teams, I'm the very one picked. Nobody wants to pick anyone like, you know, Hatfield or maybe the little Munchkin Jr. And
I'm an excellent punter.
You're baseball guys.
Junior likes football.
Junior likes
football. I like football. I just was never very good at it.
I've got an idea. How about this? You think you're good at football, right?
Yeah. No, I wasn't very good at it. That's why I play baseball. But I like it. I enjoy watching it.
This year, after you're done stuffing your face with Mrs. Hatfield's delicious homemade pies and turkeys and stuffed potatoes and all that good stuff that we're going to have at Christmas dinner. How about you make a football team and I make a football team? And we take this to the backyard.
That sounds like a deal, my friend. That sounds like a deal. Yeah. As long as Veronica's not doing any more of those cheers we saw in North Carolina that day. Oh, my God.
I've got Veronica on the sideline.
You got to admit, buddy, that cheer was pathetic there. You should have kept her in the marching band that cheer. Well, that was no good.
I don't know if keeping her on the sideline is the best choice, if you don't mind me saying, Mr. Chastain, because she's a tall girl. Perhaps utilizing her as maybe a wide receiver with your passing ability might be a good way to go.
Yeah, that's hearsay.
So you're gonna stick with her just on the sideline. That's her place, and you think that's where she's best utilized.
Absolutely. Why does Veronica got to get involved in anything? She's not a very athletic person.
Well, that brings me to something that she really didn't get involved in, and that's probably one of the highlights of your year, your Young Lions Cup final victory over ACH when you I believe it was back in August, if I'm right,
that's
where you took home the Young
half of
Lions
it in a garbage can.
Oh. Dasher's just trying to cause trouble here. So winning the Young Lions Cup trophy, that must have been a real high point for you so far in your wrestling career. And talk a little about that match, which I thought was an excellent match, one of the best from the Chikara promotion this year.
Well, I think your opinion about that match. Did you think that anyone else was going to win that tournament? I mean, Young Simba, ACH, the man who faced me in the finals, I mean, he's good. But Mr. Touchdown, he's really good. I had no doubt in my mind that I wasn't going to win that tournament. I had it hands down. I mean, Hatfield, do you know what it's like to win a Young Lions Cup trophy?
I can't say that I do. I've never won the Young Lions Cup trophy.
I didn't think you could tell me what it was like about winning the Young Lions Cup trophy, Hatfield. but I did it on my own. I didn't use Veronica. Like, you know how the nerds ringside like to say I use Veronica, and you know, and that's why I'm victorious, and that's why I'm still the Young Lions Cup champion. But let's go right back to the point. Being the Young Lions Cup champion escalates your career to a new height. Okay, debuting in Chikara is one thing. Making a name for yourself is another. Then winning the Young Lions Cup trophy the same year that you debut is just phenomenal. And I did all three things this year. The sky is going to be the limit for me when it comes to season 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and so on.
And now listen to what you're saying. You're proving my point, boy. You have all the talent in the world. We don't need Veronica walking around with that baton or whatever else she's carrying around. We don't need it. You have all the talent. You can go all the way to the top, and you can do it the right way, lad. You can do it the right way.
This is some inspirational...
I need Veronica.
I have to say, Mr. Touchdown. Sorry, go ahead.
When I look her in the eyes, I know that victory is just right around the corner. I know that without her by my side, I wouldn't be half the man I am today.
Dasher, I see something to your points that I think Mr. Touchdown, maybe if you went alone without Veronica, I think you could still, you might even have more focus that you may be able to put on the match, and you may be even able to get even more wins. So I don't know, maybe there's something to this.
Everyone can see, we're all not blind. We can see the talent that the boy has. The boy is extremely talented, super talented. We just don't need her lingering around. She brings it down. She brings the throwbacks down. She brings you down. She brings supper with the Hatfields down. She brings everything down. She's just a Debbie Downer.
I'm
just going to go on the record to say that Veronica doesn't bring the throwbacks down. What brought the throwbacks down with Sugar Dunkerton. We've never had so much success ever being the throwbacks to when Sugar Dunkerton was a part of your team. Ever since I came along with Veronica by my side, we've been nothing but victorious, and we've been skyrocketing. We've been everything that people keep talking about, show in and show out.
Now, I think Young Veronica is proving to be a bit of a controversial subject here, so let's agree to disagree for the moment and move away from that. Let's talk about another character who you guys have been involved with. That is one Mr. Matt Classic. Your partner in King of Trios this year, a man you go way back with, Dasher. You've partnered up with him on a few occasions now.
I love Matt Classic in the ring. He was my favorite wrestler as a lad.
He was my favorite wrestler.
I expressed this to him. He didn't seem to care very much. But I've watched Matt Classic in the ring.
Yeah, he's a legendary figure for sure. Holds, I believe, to this day the world record for Hindu squats in one go. He's an incredible man. Would he ever be invited to the supper at the Hatfields or the Christmas dinner at the Hatfields?
Maybe not the Christmas dinner, because Christmas is, you know, you want it to be a jolly happy time, and Matt Classic tends to be pretty bitter. He never really has nothing really nice to say. Uses foul language on a pretty regular basis. I just went around my family, especially on Christmas time. The missus, when she wouldn't, you know, appreciate that, the hard work she puts into the dinner, and he would just sit there and complain, I'm sure, and have nothing nice to say about the food and how it tastes. And he's a pretty bitter fella in his old age. That's about all I have to say about that.
And do you think Mr. Touchdown, he might be a future partner in King of Trios, or do you have your eye on other talents from maybe even other sports that could partner up with you guys?
Mr. Touchdown, are you there?
Yeah. Oh, that question's for me?
It was for you. I was looking for if you have any thoughts on if there's anyone else you might think of as a third member of your team for King of Trios, or would you like to go another year with Mr. Matt Classic?
Well, I don't know. There's been a lot of people that I've had my eyes on in Shikara and all around the wrestling world. But when is King of Trios again? September, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 9. That's about 9 months from now. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think your math is about right there.
Bravo,
yeah,
man, bravo.
Is always correct. My math is always correct. I'm good with numbers. But I guess you'll just have to wait and find out if I feel like choosing somebody else.
Were you happy with my
classic? You chose last year, and it didn't work out very well.
Well, you know what, Hatfield, when a guy holds the record for the number amount of Hindu squats, you can't go wrong with him, okay?
You can, though. I learned that lesson 3 times now. 3 strikes and you're out. He's 0-3 in King Trios.
There's something special in Team JWP when they get off the airplane in Philadelphia and they travel to Eastern Pennsylvania. There was something special that they brought along with them.
This is very true.
That's what led them to victory. You saw how far they went. You saw
the name they made
for themselves here in the States. So, Hatfield, you cannot blame that on Matt Classic.
That was a collective effort between you and
Matt Classic.
And you had nothing to do with it.
I had absolutely nothing to do with you and Matt Classic dropping the ball this year.
Okay, next question. Move on. We're going to agree to disagree again.
I think we'll have to. Another person I'll ask you about, who mentioned already, that being Sugar Dunkerton. Dasher, I know he's a guy you go way back with, some really happy times. Unfortunately, at the last iPay-per-view, a little bit of a miscommunication there. I just want to know if there's going to be Christmas cards exchanged. Are you guys still on good terms? Maybe put the listeners' minds to rest on that matter.
So right now I haven't talked to Shug. I know he kind of hit me in the head with the fanny pack, with whatever was in there. That was pretty hard and pretty blunt, and hit me right in the head. Maybe I thought it was accidental or on purpose. I wasn't really sure, but I haven't yet heard from Shug to kind of clear that up. For a long time, you know, Sugar, especially in the original run of the throwbacks, he would be sometimes aggravated with, you know, some of the goofiness and stuff that went on, and he always would like to take, say, a more serious role in our tag team and the way we wrestle and the way we go about things. Yeah, I mean, if you've ever seen me in the ring, you know, I like to have a good time. And Sugar would get aggravated at times, and I didn't know if this is what it's going to lead him to maybe want to be a full-time member of Fist and prove those guys that he, because those guys, they can go. When it's time to go, they can go. They can put all the goofiness aside, and they can wrestle, and they've proven it time and time again. King of Trios, Campeonatos, they've won just about everything and anything. I mean, I already know what's going on with Sugar. If he thinks that's going to bring him to the top, and he's trying to fit in more with Icarus, I don't know why he'd ever want to do that. But I still haven't really heard from Sugar and talked about it. And I mean, as of right now, all I know is Sugar hit me in the head in front of thousands of people on iPay-Per-View, and I'm still not too happy about it.
Ooh, okay. So it's something that hopefully in the new year we may get some answers. We may get you guys to work things out. We'll see what happens, I guess, in the
Absolutely.
New year. Some,
and he punched me in the face in Chicago too. I didn't forget that either.
Oh, that's true. So there's a lot to be worked out there. And Mr. Touchdown, I take it you don't really care one way or the other about Sugar Dunkard, and he's not someone who's on your radar whatsoever.
Man, I really can't stand the nerd. You know, and to be honest with you, I don't think we ever need him back in the throwback show. He's bad news. Hatfield, you listening to me? He's not even your friend. Hello?
Hello? Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you, Hatfield.
Okay, I'm listening. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Mentioned a nerd. He cheated for Fist. He cheated for Fist, and you lost the match at Under the Hood. You lost.
I wish I could argue with you. I wish. Right now, I'm like, I wish I could. You know, I want to stand up for him. Me and Sugar were friends for a long, long time. I want to stand up for him right now. But I, you know, like the things you're saying are true. I can't really argue.
Yeah, I know. I know I've had my problems in the past with not following the rules 100%, but let me just say this, Hatfield, I've changed. And cheating is wrong.
Oh,
cheating is
that's
for losers.
Nice.
You're coming around. All my hard work is finally going to pay off. You're coming
and
around. Well, I mean, I still want to see the proof in the pudding.
Cheat.
I'll see
sure
when I believe it,
cheat.
But I like what you're saying.
He's a loser.
Yeah. The anger management classes are obviously paying off quite well here. I'm very impressed. It seems to be a good investment so far.
Many people told me it was a lost cause and I'm wasting a lot of my time. But Mark is a relative of mine, and I'll stick by my family to the end. So I'm going to see through until he's on the up and up 100% of the time. And slowly but surely, we're getting there. We're getting there.
You know, Hatfield, blood is thicker than water.
I agree, my friend. We'll agree to agree on that one.
That's at this very time of year, that's a lovely thing to see. And you guys are definitely an inspiration to families everywhere. But I got to ask, someone who has been known to be a fairly vile character, a fairly reprehensible man in the wrestling business over the years, actually recently called you out, Mr. Touchdown, for your actions with Sapphire. Of course, I'm speaking of Jake the Snake Roberts. And I'm sure you've seen what Jake the Snake has said. I'm sure you've seen him voice his displeasure about your actions. And would you care to respond to Jake the Snake Roberts here on the air?
Do I really need to respond to Jake the Snake Roberts?
Oh, I think the people would like to hear.
Take a look at the guy. He's beaten up. He's broken down. The wrestling business has used that gear up and has replaced him. Now, Jake Snake Roberts, he wants to say anything about my family. He wants to tell me that I need to protect them. I need to watch out for them. I need to watch my own back. I would beat Jake the Snake Roberts up, but it looks like his life already did that for me. Okay?
Ooh.
And if he wants to talk about family, let's face it, I use the word nerd a lot, but I'm a wrestling nerd, and I like wrestling, and I saw Beyond the Mat when it came out in 1999, And I saw what Jake the Snake's family life is like. But I probably shouldn't go there right now, should I? I shouldn't say that I'm coming for any members of his family, because they want nothing to do with him. Jake the Snake is a loser. And if Jake the Snake wants to threaten me or anybody in my family, whether it's Dash or Hatfield, my mother, my sister, or my father, well, then I'm going to be coming for that nerd. That's right.
Are you not worried? Are you not worried that perhaps his current living with and engaging in the yoga with DDP is going to maybe get him back clear-headed, back on track, and maybe be a threat to you? Perhaps, I don't know, but there may be issues with eligibility, but maybe he might even come for the Young Lions Cup.
That would be something, right? A lot of fans would like to see that, huh? Yeah, maybe if you had to be under the age of 70 to qualify for the Young Lions Cup tournament. Or maybe they could replace the word young and have a different definition for it. Instead of it being for under the age of 25, they could say young as in old.
Dasher, were you a big Jake the Snake Roberts fan back in the day? What were your thoughts on seeing him call out your comrade here?
Back in the day, you know, Jake the Snake's a very talented man. Very talented, very good wrestler. Always kind of creepy for me, a little bit creepy for my taste. As far as his comments for Mark, I think, you know, Mark deserved a lot of the things people said about him with his actions with Sapphire there. I'm not going to stick up for him as far as that goes. As far as, you know, bringing Mark's family and his sisters, and these are all relatives of mine, too, I kind of took that a little bit to heart as well. You know, these are our family members. These are, you know, human beings that he's going after, not people who, you know, I mean, voluntarily joined in a wrestling match, as Sapphire did, with her little tiny bones and whatnot. You know, he's gone after people's family and stuff while they're in their homes and sleeping, and this stuff's all just, I believe it's illegal and against the law. So, yeah, I'm against that 100%. But he's got a problem with Mark, you know, and come take it up with Mark.
One other place, other than Chikara, where you guys have been plying your trade recently is the Wrestling is Fun promotion, which a lot of fans have got to witness on their free iPay-per-views on Smart Mark Video. And Mr. Touchin, you had a couple of really good matches with Mike Quackenbush over the Championship Banana in Wrestling is Fun. And did you enjoy those matches with Quack? And currently, is the Banana of more value, less value, or same value to you as the Young Lions Cup?
Well, any championship has 100% value to me in any match. You know, whatever it be, whether it be, you know, a big football game and we're fighting for a brass ring and playing football for the brass ring, or if we're in the squared circle. Those matches with Mike Quackenbush, though, were hard-fought victories. Anybody who watched them knows that. They saw I couldn't be held down from anything that Mike had. Now, maybe if he would have known maybe one more hold, you know, maybe if he would have known 1,001 holds, he could have gotten the job done and he'd be the Banana champion right now. But, he couldn't get the job done. So, when you ask the question, what has more value, the Banana or the trophy? Neither. Both 100%. If I'm going to defend the Banana, I'm going to give it 100%. If I'm going to defend the trophy, I'm going to give it 100%.
That sounds like the words of a champion to me. And Dasher, your matches in Wrestling is Fun. Are you looking to climb the ladder and potentially go for the Banana at some point yourself?
I'm still kind of confused as why I haven't got a shot at the Banana yet. My record stands pretty tall in Wrestling is Fun. I think I only have one single loss to the assailant, and I'm gonna get revenge on him to December the 29th, also on iPay-per-view. I get my rematch with the assailant. My hold wins over Juan Francisco. I hold wins over Stigma at Wrestling is Fun. I have wins over lots of people, Icarus among others. I think I'm about 4-1 or 5-1 at Wrestling is Fun. So how I haven't got a shot at this Banana yet, it's kind of beyond me. I'm going to have to talk with that guy, top and middle bottom. I'm going to have to find him. Nobody really knows what he looks like yet. I haven't seen him around.
No, nor have I. Maybe in 2013 it'll be something that will come your way. But I want to play a little game with you guys, a little Christmas game.
I like games. That sounds like fun.
We'll get you to put your thinking caps on a little bit. I have in front of me the Chikara roster, and I'm going to pick out a few names here and there. And what I want you guys to do is tell me what you would get those names for Christmas. What would be the perfect Christmas gift for various names? So let's start with a man who he's full of beans, so to speak. He's an energetic man. He's one of my favorites, that being Fire Ant.
Oh, Fire Ant. What do you get Fire Ant for Christmas? I'd say maybe a new jacket. Maybe a new jacket. Fire Ant needs a new jacket.
New jacket, Mr. Touchdown. What would you get Fire Ant for Christmas?
What would you get him a new jacket for? The guy's hot property. He's on fire. He's
I know,
cool down. I get him.
Okay, so maybe an air conditioner. Maybe an air conditioner.
That's not a bad idea.
An air conditioner. I'm going to say the same.
Air conditioner.
Okay. Next up, the grand champion, Eddie Kingston.
Anger man. I'd get him the anger management that I got Mark for Christmas.
Okay. Okay, that could work. And Mark?
Funny. That's a good question. What would I get Eddie Kingston? Maybe I get him an American flag instead of the Puerto Rican flag that he wears all the time. He can wear an American flag.
That makes sense. He lives in America, so why not? That makes sense.
Yeah, right. If you like Puerto Rico, move there.
A man who's been very conflicted with a lot of things recently, but he's synonymous with the Chikara promotion, that being Mr. Mike Quackenbush. Dasher, what would you get? What would you get, Big Mike?
What would I get, Mike Quackenbush? Maybe a personal trainer. Maybe a personal trainer.
Oh. To get him into the kind of shape.
Yeah, he knows all those moves and stuff, but he spends less time learning moves and more time doing push-ups, I believe.
He might somehow end up maybe looking a little like Mr. Touchdown. Is that what you think would?
Can you imagine if Mr. Touchdown knew all those holds Mike Quackenbush knows? Nobody would ever beat him.
True, and nobody may ever beat him as it is. So that's really saying something.
Already, yes, Heels. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
What would you get, Quack, Mr. Touchdown?
What would I get, Quackenbush? I would get him. I would get Quackenbush. I'd get Quackenbush tuna fish.
Oh, that'll go along nicely with the working out. So yeah, we could be seeing a more muscular Mike Quackenbush in the new year if this comes to pass. Next up, another man who's been troubled recently, Tim Donst.
Maybe I have two gifts for Tim Donst. One is a wig because he lost all of his hair to Holloway today, and the other one would be deodorant because the boy is smelly.
He's a smelly boy, is he? Okay.
He's a smelly boy with no hair on his head.
We've learned something new about Tim Donst here on the show. And Mr. Touchdown, what do you think would be the perfect gift this Christmas for Timothy Donst?
I would get Tim Donst wet ones, a box of wet ones. he's a messy eater, so when he eats, he gets food everywhere. So that'll be easy for him to clean things up with.
Jeez, Tim Donst is not coming off well here on the Christmas show.
Fantastic wrestler. Just have fantastic at hygiene.
Okay. How about two guys? Well, two for one here. Los Ice Creams, Ice Cream Junior and El Hijo del Ice Cream. They're kind of tricksters. You don't really know what these guys are all about. Some days they're happy-go-lucky fan favorites. Other days they can be quite mean-spirited. Mm. And I guess it depends on the mood, but... Dasher, what would you go with for the ice creams?
If I had to get the ice creams, I think I'd get them green cards because I enjoy watching them, but they can only get in the country, you know, very, very seldom. So I think maybe with green cards we'd see a lot more of the ice creams, which I would enjoy thoroughly, even though they can be a bit mischievous at times. Very entertaining, those fellas. Very entertaining.
Mr. Touchdown?
What would I get the ice creams? The ice cream is like sprinkles, so you can't go wrong getting them sprinkles for Christmas.
They do enjoy using the sprinkles, although that's a dangerous object in the world's Chikara, so you wouldn't want them to introduce
I don't want to get them anything dangerous, because that'd be bad. What if we get them a truck, an ice cream truck?
They probably
they
already
could come
have
out
that.
To the ring on
them. Maybe a new one.
They could come out to the ring with their ice cream truck. It'd be amazing. It'd be the best entrance in wrestling. I would like to see that.
And they have a big hose that shoots ice cream.
The next person I want to go with, Mr. Chuck Taylor. It's Smooth Chucky T. He's a man who I'm sure likes gifts. So what would he enjoy this Christmas?
I mean, what would he enjoy or what would I get him? He would enjoy a bottle of some kind of Kentucky bourbon, I'm sure.
Okay. But you'd get him something different?
Yeah, I don't want to, feed his demons. Maybe I'd get him a new camera for his show he has, the Gentleman's Club show. I think he needs a new one of those high-tech gizmo cameras. I think would help bring that show, to the next level.
It's a fantastic show. I do enjoy that.
It's racist, don't you think?
There's a few things said on it that can be borderline racist, yes, but I think it's all in good fun. I mean,
yeah, I wouldn't let my children watch it. No, it's
it's probably best to keep the little Hatfields away from it. I think. Mr. Touchdown, first of all, I just want to ask: Are you buddies with Chuck Taylor? Is he one of your pals on the roster? Do you guys hang out, or do you kind
of
stay away from
anybody?
No.
What about me? We're buddies.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Hatfield, about 99% of the roster doesn't like me for some reason. I don't know why, but were you going to ask me what I would get Chuck Taylor for Christmas?
Yeah. Any
idea? A pair of new tights, because then he would stick out from all his buddies and fist.
That's true, he would. I think a new pair of tights would be delightful for Chuck Taylor. Speaking of Gentlemen's Club, Two other guys in that group I'd like to ask about. I'll ask them together. Mr. Orange Cassidy and the Swamp Monster.
Are you asking what we would get them for Christmas?
Yeah.
Orange Cassidy, I don't think it costs any money, but I'd organize an intervention, with his closest friends and the bald man from the TV show, and we would all tell him, how much we care about him and, we think he has a problem. And then maybe we'd send him to Florida to where he could go to a rehab facility. The boy has a bad alcohol problem. He's always thrown up on the show, I think, from drinking too much alcohol. I'd like to see him, kick that habit. And the Swamp Monster? I don't know, what the heck do you get? I don't think Swamp Monsters like too many things. I don't know if you get a Swamp Monster for Christmas. Maybe I just buy him, something Christmassy. Something holiday, maybe a fruitcake, I think. Well, Swamp Monster, it seems like he'd like a fruitcake.
Mr. Touchdown, do you have any... I know, first of all, as a man of great physical health and fitness, you must really just shake your head at Orange Cassidy and the way he lives his life.
Yeah, if anybody needs a personal trainer this year for Christmas, it's got to be that guy. And, I'd probably even give that guy steroids. He needs them. He needs steroids. Let's face it.
Maybe it might get him on a nice straight and narrow path. I don't know.
Maybe for the Swamp Monster, I'll get him one of those cheap bottles of cologne. Because he stinks.
Does he stink?
He's in the locker room because he smells.
Well, it's probably good to keep him and Tim Donst away from each other. Then you don't want both those guys fouling up the locker room with their odors. Well, that was great, guys. I think that's a lot of interesting gifts that we have for the members of the Chikara roster, and maybe one or two of them will end up getting some of those presents. So I'm very happy with that. But I have one more question that I really wanted to ask Mr. Touchdown before leaving here today. You are, of course, a man well-versed in the gymnasium, Mr. Touchdown. You spend a lot of time there. Obviously, been lifting the weights for many years. And I have a gym question for you, sir. But it's not one about technique or advice. It's more about how to deal in January with all the people that come along to the gym and just clog the place up with no intentions of lasting more than 3 weeks based on a New Year's resolution. How do you feel about these people, and what do you have any tactics that you've built up over the years for dealing with them?
Yeah, those are really the worst people to deal with because they're always just hanging out in the machines. But, you know, truthfully, by, you know, middle of February, even probably by the end of January, most of them are gone. When it comes to working out, I think it's the greatest thing ever that anyone can do is take control of their health and their body and the way they look and the way they feel about themselves. So, you know, I give those people a pat on the back. They're not the biggest nerds in the world, but they're definitely more on the bigger nerd side if they drop out at the end of January or the middle of February. But how do you deal with them? You just deal with them. You just got to deal with them. Or what you can do is, like, you know, if you see them doing a set and they get up and they go get a drink of water, you just take the machine like you didn't even know. And you got to make sure you have your headphones in. And you got to look like a weirdo, too. Like, you got to look like you're in the zone. That if anyone were to tap you on the shoulder, you might tackle them in the middle of the weight room.
That's good advice. That's a good advice. Dasher, do you ever try out tips like that? I think you might be too friendly a guy. I think you might just let the people go on with their annoying gym habits and just mind your own business and do your own kind of stuff.
I could imagine, you know, if I was at the gym there, I'd probably help them people out and give them some advice. But I tend to just, you know, do push-ups, you know, in my house and yard work and things of this nature. Keep myself in top physical shape.
That's your routine. Well, it's obviously working for you. You've got yourself in great physical condition. So thank you.
Yeah, the push-ups, you know, and I learned from that classic there. I could do some Hindu squats, not as many as he can, but we can do some Hindu squats. I tend to just do what I can around the house. Keep myself in physical shape. Every once in a while, I'll go to the gym with young Mark there, but he's like a whole different machine at that gym. He takes it to another level.
This just made me think of another question. If January is an annoying month for Mr. Touchdown for those reasons, would November perhaps be an annoying month for you, Dasher? Because November has become very popular as Movember, where a lot of people grow mustaches for the month for charity, which is obviously a lovely thing to do. But as a man who year-round sports an incredible, dashing mustache.
Thank you.
Do you find it annoying if maybe people are coming up to you and thinking that, like, you've just grown this out for the month and this isn't a thing you're committed to?
I think they can tell pretty clear when they see mine.
Okay.
This isn't a 1 month of the year mustache. This is something that has to be groomed and probably taken care of to look as fantastic as it does. But what did annoy me the other day with this whole Movember and this mustache craze taking over right now, me and the missus, where we were doing some Christmas shopping, and I happened to be in a store, and there's a store that had racks and racks of these shirts with just mustaches on them, and they look awful familiar to me, and I have not seen a nickel for these t-shirts. They haven't offered me any wages for these, and they blatantly ripped them off, and they stole them right off my face, and that I don't appreciate. But as far as the mustaches goes, no, I think everyone in the world should have a mustache. It'd be a better place. It'd be a much happier place.
Cody Rhodes is sporting a lovely one on WWE Raw these days.
I wouldn't call that a lovely one. That's kind of a really terrible one.
Oh, you're not a fan of that one?
No. It's just, you know, it's poorly chopped and trimmed, and there's no character to it. That's the one that says, you know, that's the young lad who says, hey, I can barely grow a mustache, and this is kind of what came in, so I'm going to run with this just because I want to have a mustache.
Well, if you can maybe reach out to him, if you have any mutual friends, people you might know in WWE, maybe get in touch with Cody and offer him some grooming advice. I think he might be receptive to that, and then perhaps one day his mustache can be as fine as yours.
Yeah, no, I see. I think when it properly grows in, you know, like a real man's mustache, I think he will take care of it and groom it. Maybe I can give him some tips, but I think for right now, it's, you know, he's just got to play the waiting game, and, you know, puberty kicks in a little more for him, you know, he'll have a more manlier mustache.
Well, that's good to hear. Guys, I want to thank you very much for joining us here on the Christmas show. It's been a pleasure. But before you go, If you have any plugs, Twitters, anything you want to talk about, let the people know about it. Dasher, I know you've got some exceptional T-shirts on the go at the moment.
Absolutely.
Tell everyone everything they need to know about everything you guys are doing right now.
I guess, yeah, if you follow me, please, at Twitter. I've learned how to work Twitter recently. It's Mr. Hatfield 4. Is it at Mr. Hatfield 4, I guess is how the kids say it. So you can follow me there, and I tend to check that pretty regularly. I have a Facebook you could also find as Dasher Hatfield, and those wonderful T-shirts, which also come in hoodie form for the wintertime, are available at dasherhatfield.bigcartel.com. I have a link on that. If you find my Twitter there, you could check out that link. And also, coming very soon, for the little ones, we have new onesies that'll be coming out for the baby.
Onesies?
We're tapping into a whole new market at Dasher Hatfield Big Cartel. There will be baby onesies.
I don't know if it's hit your side of the world there in America, but a very unfortunate fashion trend at the moment is adult onesies over here. Certain boy bands have members that wear onesies, and it's not a pretty sight. But maybe
Mike
Quackenbush
wears men onesies.
Does he? Are you going to perhaps invest in some bigger sized Dasher Hatfield onesies and try and capitalize on that trend?
Hey, if it's taken over there and I can make a couple bucks off it, I'm all about it. You know, we got to make some money. Keep Mrs. Hatfield happy, and she likes money.
Does she? Okay, well, don't they all? And Mr. Touchdown, what do you have to plug, sir?
Well, I use Twitter. I'm at Mark Angelicetti. You can find me on YouTube. The Supper with the Hatfields, they got the Wrestling Is channel. You can find me in the Shikara ring holding the Young Lions Cup trophy. Wait a minute. You want to talk about Fire Ant earlier? What would I get him for Christmas? I did get him something, actually, and it's a shot at my banana championship in Pennsylvania at Wrestling Is Fun. So
and that will be available at smvod.com?
The Smart on iPay-per-view. You'll be able to watch that.
Excellent. I'll be sure to stay tuned for that. That's going to be a hell of a match. Two of the best wrestlers going today in Chicago.
Absolutely,
that's fine.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, that's going to be a hell of a match. So I encourage people to check that out and check out all the Chikara shows from this past year and going forward. It's a busy schedule in 2013, going all over America. What states that Chikara hasn't been to are you guys most excited about visiting?
I'd probably say that California show. Go out there and get some sunshine and some sun rays. Perhaps do a little surfing. Try not to look at all the cute girls they have there. Mrs. Hatfield wouldn't like that. I'm excited to go to California. Maybe catch a 49ers game, but I don't think we'll be out there during that time.
I'm excited about Florida, the Sunshine State.
Nice. So you guys both like the sunshine by the sound of things. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. We're on the East Coast, especially right now. It's cold and bitter out right now.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same over here in Ireland, and I'm definitely a man who likes to get the sunshine whenever I can. So I'd be in the same boat as you guys. Miami, or Florida, and California, they're the ways to go, I think. But I wish you guys all the best success with those shows next year. I hope you both continue to do as well as you did in 2012, and continued success and happy Christmas, guys. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having us, brother.
Excellent. Well, everyone, please stay tuned. We'll be back with more from the Christmas show right after this. Bye, everybody. Jingle bell, 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 jingle bell
く風も白く歌う声は飛んでゆくよ輝き始めた星の空へ、hey! ジングルベル、ジングルベル、スドゥガンダム季節のリズム、ヒクミのわがまるジングルベル、ジングルベル、スドゥガンダム森に走り響きながら。
And welcome everyone back again to the DKP Christmas Party here at F4WOnline.com and WrestlingObserver.com. And again, Dr. Keith is no longer with us. He is somewhere else in his palatial estate right now. But we have two fine men as guests to the Christmas Party right now. Two favorites of the show. Two guys who I'm very happy to welcome here for the first time to the Christmas show, Player Uno.
Hello.
And making his second appearance on the Christmas show, and I believe his third appearance overall on the show, the illustrious Mr. Wrestling, Kevin Steen. Kevin, how are you, sir?
I'm all right. How are you, fellas?
Oh, we are good. And for anyone that doesn't, for anyone that's thinking that's an odd random pairing that have been brought together here, Kevin Steen and Player Uno, then you obviously don't know the history of these two men very well, because you two are quite tight in the wrestling world. Kevin, you've served as somewhat of a mentor for Uno, been a big supporter of him in PWG and his run in the last year with Player Dose, Super Smash Brothers, and forgetting about all those niceties, Kevin, I want you to tell me something ridiculous about Player Uno that people might not realize.
A lot of people think we're actual brothers, actually.
and people think Generico and Dose are.
That's the rumor that I hear, yeah. So, hey, I'll take it. I already have a brother, but if I have another one, Uno's good. I'm good with that.
And Uno, something about Kevin that maybe people don't realize that you think is pretty ridiculous about him?
Man, I have no good Kevin stories that I can just let out on a podcast. I'm trying to think. I don't have any. None at the moment.
Terrible addition to this Christmas show. It's not starting off great.
In our email correspondence during the week, he did refer to you as the masked fuck. So I was hoping you'd have some.
It's one of the nicer things I call him, honestly.
Yeah, we have a really one-sided relationship where I just take a lot of abuse and I agree to whatever he says.
Oh no, that sounds a lot like a tag team championship winning relationship that Kevin used to have a few years ago.
It honestly sounds like most of my relationships with almost everybody, to be honest.
I agree.
So, is this what Willie Mack has in store for him now, with him being your new partner in DDT4?
I don't know. Willie's got this crazy eyes, you know. Sometimes he intimidates me a little, so maybe I don't know if I'll be slapping him around or disrespecting him that much, but I'm glad to have him on my side, you know.
So let's talk about that. Both of you guys obviously very much involved in DDT4 coming up. Kevin, you were originally scheduled to reprise your team with El Generico, a big shock. And in the first round, no less, you're going to take on the Briscoe brothers, your famous rivals from back in the day in Ring of Honor. And unfortunately, Generico's had to pull out now due to injury. But you have been given Willie Mack as a replacement, the tag team name, I believe, two not-so-skinny white guys. Am I correct?
No, two not-so-skinny white dudes.
Okay.
It's a small detail, but it matters. Yeah, I actually asked for Willie as my partner when I heard that Generico was injured because, I wasn't too upset to hear the news, and then I figured who could be my partner, and if it couldn't be Super Dragon, which it couldn't be because he's still injured, I figured Willie would be a great choice, so we went ahead and did that.
Yeah, it looks good. And Uno, as someone who could be facing off against these guys on the other side of the bracket, were you a bit more worried when you heard this? Was it something where you were like, you were relieved you don't have to face Steen and Generico, the world-famous tag team? What were your reactions to hearing this news?
Part of me was happy that we might mingle with Generico and Steen, but the other part of me was like, oh, well, they're really good. There's no chance we're going to win. Now it's still kind of the same thing. I think Willie Mack's really good and Kevin's awesome, obviously. And, I'm not worried. I'm actually more worried with our first round opponents right now because they're extremely strong and they're scary. So I don't know what kind of tactic I should take against them, but for Willie and Kevin, I've wrestled them before, so I actually have an idea what to do.
For those people that don't know, your first round opponents are the greatest name ever, the Unbreakable Fucking Machines of Michael Elgin and Brian Cage Taylor, and that's going to be a tough one for you guys, but you've shown yourselves to be resourceful before and come through adversity, so you could pull off. You're the PWG Tag Team Champions for a reason.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought about it beforehand. I was trying to think what tactic I should use. I was thinking, do I spend the next month trying to lift heavy things, or do I just eat a lot more during Christmas time and try to get heavier? So I'm not sure which one I'm going to go for. If the past...
I can speak from experience to tell you that no matter how much you eat, Elgin and Brian will be able to lift you very easily because they've done it to me. So
I figure if I lift weights, I won't be as strong as them to begin with either way. So I'm not sure. I don't know what to do.
Hmm.
I think
have
you should
tried,
just tag
have,
Superman and just let it go. Just tag those in and see what happens. That's my.
That's usually what I do all the time.
That's true.
Yeah, I think just Dose being fast and running around a lot and you punching them in the face at every opportunity, I think that could be the winning tactic. But, this is a loaded DDT4. I can't think of a field for this tournament that's ever been this good.
Guys, listen. I'm in a parking lot right now of a shopping mall, actually, in my car, and there's a dude putting bags in his car. He looks just like Ruckus. I'm not kidding. He's putting a pink Barbie doll thing in his car right now. I felt like I needed to share it. For a quick second, I thought it was Ruckus, and I wondered why he was in my neck of the woods. But
I don't know. I don't know if you know this about Ruckus, but he does. He takes Xbox like cases and designs them with the CZW logo and stuff like that, and sells them online.
I heard he's very good at making things into other things or whatnot. I don't know, but anyway, right now he's putting bags in the back of his car.
After putting the bags in the car, did he do like a bunch of like superfluous
actually right,
backflips
right
no
now
reason?
As you were asking that question, he grabbed the shopping cart and started running with it, and it looks like he's trying to get away real fast now. I'm not even kidding. It looks like he might have told me. I'm not joking. I'm not trying to be funny. It literally looks like he's trying to get the fuck out of Dodge as fast as he can.
Is Nick Gage
right
driving
now,
the car?
I'm seeing him run right now. He's getting in his car, and he looks in a real hurry. Anyway,
Is Nick Gage the getaway driver?
No. Reckless is in the driver's seat and everything.
Okay. Hmm.
I just blew your cover.
Ruckus is going to be disappointed. What is with all these CZW guys and just breaking the law? It's terrible.
It's in the song. They have to.
That song has apparently just gone 10 years old in the last couple of weeks.
Really?
Oh, wow, and it wasn't celebrated or mentioned or made a big deal of? That's kind of weird.
It really is one of the great songs of all time in the history of music.
I think it's iconic is what it is.
Is
that
sure
a real
is.
Word? Is that a real word? I think it is. Right?
Yeah, that's suitable. Hey. That's suitable. DDT4, it doesn't have Ruckus, but it does have...
he's busy running away from the law. He can't be everywhere at the same time.
Yeah, he's gonna just miss out, but it does have Rich Swann and Ricochet. It does have
I see the link you made now. I see it. Nice to know the way you are, Alan.
the Briscoes, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, who else we got? The Dojo Bros, Roderick Strong and Eddie Edwards.
I'd like to go on record and say that's the worst name ever, by the way.
It's pretty bad, all right.
What's it make reference to?
I can't wait for Roddy to come up to me. Bro, what the fuck? It's a great name! Anyway.
Does Roderick take offense at a lot of the things you say on commentary and stuff about him?
Nah, I don't think so. He's a pretty good sport about it. Or he doesn't listen. I'm not sure which one. Because to be fair, whenever he has a problem, he makes no bones about it. He's more than happy to bring it up to them. So I think if he had a problem, he would be more than happy to come talk about it.
Now, obviously, you guys are both really looking forward to DDT4, and it's going to be a great tournament to kick off the year for PWG. But if we just backtrack about a week or so, Kevin, you were in a match last weekend, which got a little bit of talk here and there. That was, of course, your ladder war with El Generico. And it was incredible. I'm sure you've seen all the praise all over for the match. It was a really great match and a really great way to end a really strong pay-per-view, I thought. Probably Ring of Honor's best effort of the year. And how pleased were you at how the match went? And just how do you feel about Ring of Honor and where it's going at the moment with you still as the champion?
Well, I mean, the match, I'm still feeling the effects of the match right now. My ribs are still sore. My back's still pretty fucked up. But the worst part of it is that, the day before, 2 days before, my son got sick with the flu, and he was throwing up all over all night, and I was taking care of him. And then I left to get to New York the day before, Saturday. And then I was feeling kind of weird Saturday, but Sunday, as time went by, I started feeling progressively worse. And 10 minutes before my music hit, I was throwing up. Yeah, so it was real bad. And when I got to the ring, I had no energy in me. I was so slow climbing the ladders because I was fucked. I had no energy. It's almost as if Generico had, if I didn't know my son had the flu and I caught it from him, I would have thought Generico was going to poison me or something, because I was fucked. I had no energy. So it's a good thing that I ended up almost murdering Generico, because I don't think I would have been able to get up the ladder to get the belt if he had been standing anywhere, if he had been in any way, shape, or form capable of stopping me, because I was going up the ladder so slow because, like I said, I had no strength, I had no energy. It was a real rough day. So I'm definitely happy with the way the match came off, knowing that. And also, I retained my title, and also, it was a good day in all, because I heard that the pay-per-view stream was flawless.
Oh, it was really good.
And from what I heard, the buy rates were actually pretty good, and I don't know. It was a good day, man. I think Ring of Honor might have finally gotten their shit together. Honestly, it's been a rough year. Nobody's going to nobody's going to be able to deny it. The iPay-per-view fiasco and just a lot of shit went down, but it looks like we're heading back in the right direction now, and it's the first time in a long time that I'm actually happy to be Ring of Honor champion, because when I won the belt, it was vindication for a lot of stuff that had happened before. But after I won the belt, I was just determined to, kind of giving the company a run for their money for everything they put me through. But now I feel like I've maybe moved on from that, and I'm actually really proud to be Ring of Honor champion now. So I hope that things stay the way they are going now, and we keep moving towards, towards a good thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of bright things on the horizon going into 2013. You have the anniversary show and then Hammerstein in New York, which I'm personally really looking forward to, because I'll be there. So that's going to be really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing what's signed for that show. It could be a real good rebounding year for ROH in 2013. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I was really impressed with the stream. One thing that if anyone didn't order that was really cool about it was you're able to it was almost like a DVR functionality. So I had to actually stop watching the show about an hour in to record a segment of the Christmas show here with Excalibur. So I went and talked to Excalibur for an hour and then came back, and I was able to unpause and pick up exactly from where I was and skip ahead through intermission, rewind back whenever there was a cool move or whatever. It was, it was really cool to be able to do. I haven't seen any other iPay-per-view that's had those capabilities. So that was awesome. And the stream was really clear, and yeah, all the matches were really good. It was a real fun show. But, so I think, a lot of good things on the horizon. And who do you, Jay Lethal obviously has made a claim for the belt, but you've had your run-ins with him. And who would you see as a next deserving challenger for the title?
I don't know, man. I've beaten a lot of the guys that people seem to think deserve a shot. But after what happened between us and PWG, I'd love to see Adam Cole try to come after my Ring of Honor title, because I got some payback in store for him. And I don't know, man. The Briscoes are always in the back of my mind, honestly, both of them, Mark and Jay, because they've been there, and, you know, if they haven't said it 1,000 times, they've never said it once. They've been there since day one. And I think, I don't know, anytime I get in the ring with them, it's a blast. So I'd actually love to defend the belt against either of them, or both, not at the same time, hopefully. But, yeah, so, yeah, the Briscoes, Cole. I mean, look, Lethal would be a great challenger, but he made his own, you know, he made his bed, so now he's got to lay in it, or whatever the saying is. I'm not sure how it goes, but he fucked up, so it's not my problem.
Yeah, I think one of the underrated aspects of your feud with the Briscoes back in the day was the singles matches that happened. I remember there was
one of my favorite matches in that first year that we were back was me and Mark from Boston. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah,
and that's why I made a point of having it put on my the first Ring of Honor compilation they made for me there. I made a point of having it on there because I really liked it, and I do feel like it was kind of a forgotten match, you know.
And now, as a man who has sported a great big beard in the past, Mark is currently sporting a hell of a beard. And are you worried about that as potential padding protecting him if you were to punch him in the face?
Nah, I think I'm all right. Honestly, Mark's lost enough teeth anyway as it is, but anything he can do to save his, you know, his mouth is fine. If he wants to have a big beard, that's okay. I'll just kick him in the balls. There's no, unless he grew a beard down there too, I don't think anything he can do.
The other danger now that I think about it with the Briscoes is he could be hiding knives or anything in that, a pitchfork, anything in that beard. Here, so
at this point in time, and I've known the Briscoes for a while now, Jay hasn't changed much. I mean, he's a father now, so I guess that kind of changed him, but not really. But Mark Briscoe, I literally don't know what this man has become. I don't know how you could describe him. I don't know what to expect from him at any point, whether it be in the ring or outside of the ring, in the locker room, walking down the street. Oh, man, I didn't expect that sneeze either. Anyway, I have no idea what is going to come from Mark Briscoe at any point in time. So, I don't know, man. Defending the title against him would be a pretty thrilling thing, honestly, if anything, just because I have no idea what's coming. But, yeah, that's true for him in all walks of life, literally. Hey, Uno, how you doing, bud?
I'm good. I'm great.
I was just going to ask Uno there. You and Dose, you've had your run-ins with the Briscoes, and in DDT4, if you were to come across the Briscoes one more time, would you? What would be your tactics for dealing with those crazy boys from Delaware?
Well, now that I know that the source of his power is his beard, I might try to shave it within the match. I'd also try to stay away from Jay because he's this very scary man. Every time
Jay
I wrestled,
Jay is the scariest person maybe alive, I think.
I've met them before and I was like, okay, they're intimidating, but they don't seem too crazy. Every time I've been in the ring with Jay, I've been hit harder than I've ever been hit in my life. And
it's also the look. It's also the look he gives you from across the ring before the match.
Yeah, it's like you get frozen in place. I remember I walked in and he just said, "Boy." And I just wanted to quiver and die instantly.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, but we've beaten them before, so there's probably a way to beat them again. They're just very scary individuals. One's insane, and the other's just terrifying.
Not a good combination.
No.
Did you get a chance to see Kevin and Generico in the ladder match?
Unfortunately,
you know?
Not. I tried to pick up the stream halfway. And I just couldn't find it at all on the ROH site. I don't know why. And then I just like, whatever. I don't want to pay $15. I'll just wait and I'll get the on-demand. And I never got the on-demand either.
I think you'll be very happy with the match when you see it. It was a real doozy. And Kevin, a lot of people
really
like on the internet.
I must say this. I really gave a kick out of Uno trying to pretend like he's going to do it legit, and he's not just waiting for a torrent to come out of it. That's really cute. I really appreciate that.
Oh, come on. I would never do that.
Yeah.
I'll wait until someone else orders it, and then I'll watch it with them.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
Kevin, a lot of people on message boards and Twitter and whatnot have been comparing the Ladder War to various other matches you had with Generico, particularly the one of Final Battle 2010 and the match at Steenwolf in PWG. And how do you feel the matches kind of stacked up against each other? Were they all kind of similar in your mind, or do they all kind of have their own different qualities?
I think they're all kind of different, but I think it's hard to compare all of them. Like Steenwolf, the ladder match, it was just a different feel, and it was a different, you know, PWG and its fans are unlike anything else you'll see in wrestling. And Ring of Honor is a different animal too, but I think honestly, I don't want to, you know, pat myself on the back too much, but I think it's real testament to Generico and myself that we've literally been doing this at this point for 3 years and in two different promotions. And every single time, it's never, you know, nobody's complaining about it. And nobody's saying, oh, fuck this again. I mean, maybe there's one out of fucking 100 people saying it, but I don't care about that one person. And I don't know, man. I think each match is really good. And I think each match, I guess, obviously they all share similarities because, you know, one has a ladder in it, the other one's got a ladder in it. Or if you talk about the final battle match, I think we had a ladder in there too. But, you know, I really think that every match can be enjoyed for different reasons. And I'm really proud of every single match we've had. I'm actually really proud of that last man standing match we had in Ring of Honor last April, or was it March? Late March, early April for the in showdown Miami? In the sun, yeah, in Miami. I mean, I think that was one of our best match together ever, honestly.
Yeah, it was really good.
I think it got overlooked a little bit because the next day, Davey Richards and Michael Elgin had an insane match that people talked about a lot, and that's fine, obviously. But I don't know. I think that one match too was really special. So yeah, in the, you know, in the span of like the last 3 years, Generico and I have had a lot of really good matches. Bola 2011 in the finals is also a match I find gets overlooked.
With the little kid?
Yes, that bane of my existence, the child, the child. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like I said, I don't want to pat myself on the back too much, but I think I deserve it a little. Yeah, I really enjoyed every one of those matches, and we busted our asses, and literally nobody can say different. If anybody, whatever, if it's not your cup of tea and you didn't like them, fine, but you can't say we didn't work hard in them. And if you do, you're a dirty, dirty liar.
with all that under the bridge with you guys, with all the violence you've dished out on one another, you were going to be teaming in DDT4 before Generico's injury. And what was that going to be like, teaming with Generico again? And how did you? What were your feelings? Did you go to PWG management with this idea, or did they come to you and did they have to convince you?
I got a text the night after, like the night of Final Battle, after the match. I went to the pay-per-view that night in Brooklyn, the TLC pay-per-view, because I wanted to see Tyler in his match.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that's
Yeah, Kurt Hawkins hooked me up, and I don't know if he'll listen to this, but hi, Kurt. You know, he's a real good guy. Anyway, so I went to the pay-per-view with a couple buddies of mine that had come down for, that had, like, came to Final Battle with me. And I couldn't watch the show. I was literally, I made one of the employees open a, like a family restroom that they had in there, like a private restroom, because I got sick and I was in there for like an hour just throwing up. And as I was throwing up, I got a text message from, Super Dragon saying, you and Generico are going to team for DDT4. Okay. And before I could write, are you crazy? Because I was in the middle of getting sick to my stomach. I saw on my iPod, because they had Wi-Fi at the Barclays Center. I don't have an iPhone. I'm poor. I saw on my iPod on Twitter that they announced Generico and I as a team. So there you go. I didn't even have time to say anything about it, and it just happened. So unfortunately, honestly, I can say this. I mean, as everything we've put each other through, I was looking forward to teaming with him again, if only because I think we could have went far in DDT4, and then, you know, it would have been something that I think all the fans would have really enjoyed. But it's, you know, it's not going to happen, and it's actually not going to happen because I injured him during the ladder match, so whatever, what can I do?
The irony of it all.
Yeah.
Uno, Kevin mentioned the TLC pay-per-view there, and that's a pay-per-view that's got a lot of people talking due to the performances of guys that you've both sure crossed paths with many times, guys from the indies like Dean Ambrose, Tyler, Seth Rollins, Bryan Danielson, just all these guys just making a real impact. Claudio was on there too. And did you get to see that? Did you see the TLC match itself with The Shield against Daniel Bryan's team? And what did you make of all that as a wrestling fan?
Yeah, I got to watch the entire pay-per-view. Just before I was trying to get the ROH pay-per-view, I had a ton of friends, and we're working on this project that we're doing. And we got the pay-per-view. We ordered it that night. And, I mean, I love it as a wrestling fan and as a wrestler. I mean, there's nothing better than what's on TV because that's what's fed to the masses, you know, and that's what regulates everything in wrestling. And I loved it. I thought the Shield debut was great. Their match was so different from everything else because it felt like, I don't want to say it felt like an attitude match, but it really felt chaotic in a sense that it didn't seem structured. Like watching it, it didn't seem like, oh, this is what happens. This is what happens next. This is what happens next. It just kind of felt like, it felt like a real fight. I mean, obviously, in a real fight, you're not going to jump off ladders and superplex people through tables, but it felt...
Never fought me, buddy.
But, I mean, it felt like a genuine, like genuine hatred. It looked really crazy. And I like the rest of the pay-per-view, too. I like Dolph and Cena, and I really like Dolph. And I like Cena. I love
Even Naomi was fantastic.
Yes.
It was.
Hey, wow. Okay, that was really surprising. I was marking out for the first minute of that match because she used her butt
four times. I was joking. I didn't see it. I was throwing up.
Oh, come on.
I
know, but still. But for the first minute that you missed, she used her butt four times, and I was going crazy.
All right. Well, maybe using your butt against Cage and Elgin is the way to go, you know?
Maybe that might be it.
You should ring up Naomi for some tips. She might tell you.
I'm gonna send her a Twitter message right after this.
Yeah, you could. You could get in touch with like Naomi, Rikishi, Shiro Koshinaka, like all the people that have used their butt in wrestling to their advantage.
Who's that last one you said?
Shiro Koshinaka, Japanese. Hey, ask Excalibur about him.
I know The Rock.
Yeah, I wonder if The Rock's ever used his butt.
I'll ask him.
I know Goldust did too, and maybe I'll send him a message as well.
Oh, Goldust did. That's right. Yeah. Do you know
that's
I watched
the man that uses his to some success?
That's true. It was the
Hulk
only move he used in this first.
Yeah, the flying asshole, or as they called it in OVW, the flying apple.
Oh, did they really call it the flying apple?
They did. Yeah.
Wow.
I thought it was an awesome pay-per-view too, and. Kevin, from a live perspective, the TLC match, like, that crowd were going nuts for it. And, it must have been real cool for you seeing, like, your friends in there doing a great job.
The only time I managed to catch a break and not, you know, get sick multiple times and get back to my seat for it was for the Shield match and then Ziggler versus Cena. So I got to see Tyler Ambrose and Roman Reigns. And, you know, like, I saw so... earlier in the show, they had a promo on the Titantron or whatever. And, like, you could tell by the crowd's reaction to especially Ambrose that, he, like, this guy's going to be a huge deal. Like, you just know it. I've actually never really met him. I think I met him once or twice.
I was going
to
ask, yeah.
No, we never talked. I don't know. I remember he was doing some stuff for Ring of Honor back in the AG Net days, like dark matches. He was never used properly or, you know, for anything really. And I saw him, said hi maybe once or twice, but that's it. I never had any interaction with him other than that, but you could tell this guy's going to be really good and really big.
And he's still really young. Like, I think people don't realize how young that guy is because he looks a lot older than he is. He's still
I believe he's like 25.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And, like, Tyler did great, too. And I actually think that Roman Reigns dude is real good as well.
He has, like, an aura to
him. Yeah, I think those three guys together are going to do some really good stuff. And the match itself was amazing. Bryan is the most over man on the planet, I think. It's
yeah.
crazy. And it's so great to see. So, I mean, it's a blast. Like, it was a blast to see those guys do their thing, and it was a great, like, the crowd was great at the show, the whole show, really. The crowd was, like, going crazy. And, yeah, man. So, I really, everybody knows I'm a big wrestling fan. I love watching wrestling. So, to me, it was a blast. I had a great time, and, you know, it's always more special if you're watching guys you know. So, I really enjoyed it, everything. And the actual match was excellent. The part that made me react the most, actually, is when, at one point, Ambrose grabbed Kane for, like, a suplex on an open chair. And Kane countered with a choke slam on the open chair. But that's not what made me go crazy. It's that Kane, in order to counter the suplex, did the indie wrestling grab the arm and twist out thing. Which, for sure comes from someone else. Because there's no way Kane said, I'll do this. And that really blew my fucking mind.
Kane learned that one in Smoky Mountain in 92 when he was like the Christmas tree.
Seeing him do the reversal blew my fucking mind. Like, I lost it. I was going crazy before the actual pop just because I saw him swing out. That's what I call it, swing out. I couldn't believe
old Dr. Isaac Yankin move.
Of course it was.
I just wanted to say about Daniel Bryan. I was at the house show here in Dublin in November, and it was ridiculous how over Daniel Bryan was. It was crazy. He would, like, it was just in this place in, like, 5,000, 6,000 Irish people, probably five of whom knew who he was before, like, a year ago. And they're all just going mental for him. And him and Kane did the shtick after the match for, like, probably about 10 minutes. And it was so over, like, Kane was holding the tag title belts, and Daniel Bryan was charging like a goat and putting his fingers up over his head, and Kane would, like, move the belt away, and Daniel Bryan would, like, hit the turnbuckle. Oh, it was so funny. And, he's a superstar now, just a huge superstar.
I saw this year at a WWE show on SmackDown, and Ottawa is where I live, and it was dead silent. It's like one of the worst arenas to go see anything. And the whole SmackDown event was dead silence, excluding two people. When Daniel Bryan came out, everyone went wild. And when Sheamus came out, one kid right beside me ripped off his shirt and started pounding his chest. And after he pounded his chest, this little girl walked in front of him, and he pushed her away so he could continue pounding his chest in hopes that Sheamus could see him.
Fucking awesome.
It was great.
Did he have another shirt? Did he have another shirt on hand?
No, he just ripped it off.
Holy shit, that's great.
He didn't think it through. It was a spur of the moment thing.
And he already had, like, he had the spiky orange hair previously. So I was like, he's a Sheamus fan. But the second Sheamus came out, he ripped off that shirt. It was amazing.
That's awesome. Kevin, you're going to be, I would assume, at the Ring of Honor show on WrestleMania weekend. And I know you didn't make it last year, but are you going to try and take in WrestleMania this year?
I'm not sure. Maybe, maybe not. I really don't know. It depends on, because the show's a Friday, and then I'm also wrestling on the Thursday in Jersey. So I don't know if I'm not one. I don't really like being away from my family more than I need to. So I want to stay for WrestleMania. It's a couple of days extra. I don't know. I'd like to, but it's not worth sacrificing time away, like, with my kids and stuff and my wife. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they'll come. I don't know the plan. But I would, if I am there, I will try for sure. Yeah.
What if The Rock invites you over for WrestleMania? Will you go?
I mean, I guess I'd try to move some things around. Yeah.
Uno, I'm not asking you to spoil whether or not you'll be having any participation yourself in WrestleMania weekend. I don't want to step on anyone's toes with regards to announcements, but is going to a WrestleMania something that's on your bucket list, or have you been to one already, or what's your deal?
I mean, regardless of if I'm going to be wrestling or not, I mean, I don't know yet, but I'm going to go. It's the closest a WrestleMania's been to me outside of Toronto, and I've missed it. I've never went to a WrestleMania before. So,
well, fantastic. If you're in the area, you need to come to WrestleCon and meet Ultimate Warrior, and and Gene Snitsky with me.
Oh, wow. That's the greatest combination of
Gene Snitsky, listen. Guys, listen. I have a warning about Gene Snitsky. I've met him several times. He's a real good guy. But he gives the fucking hardest handshake of all. Like, human.
That's true.
Have you met him, too?
Yeah, at the ROH TV tapings. I was like, oh, that's Gene Snitsky.
It's fucking crazy. He crushes your hand. And he's so intense. And then the last time I met him was in Philly at a Ring of Honor show. Before he left, and he slapped me on the shoulder and fucking almost knocked me down. I'm not even kidding. The dude's a fucking beast. He's just a, oh my God. So be careful, Alan. He's going to rip your fucking arm off.
I will. I was about to say I was worried about the other person I was going to mention that's going to just announce is the Warlord. Snitsky. If Chikara are doing King of Trios again this year, the Warlord, Ultimate Warrior, and Gene Snitsky, that might be a team they might want to recruit then there at WrestleCon, because I don't know if anyone could beat those three guys.
That sounds like a fantastic team when you think about it. Just three giant dudes.
Yeah, that's cool. I think the wrestling world is really going to be congregated on New York and New Jersey that weekend. It's going to be so awesome. I actually just got my tickets for Mania the other day, and it was a happy moment when I saw them come through the post. Because until you get them, you're really not sure 100% that it's actually happening. And then once that happens, you're like, sweet, all sorted. The other thing I wanted to bring up with you guys, Kevin, we haven't had you on here since your two big shoot interviews got released. I've only seen the Smart Mark video one myself so far, but I've heard the High Spots one is also very good. And the first question I wanted to ask you about those two is, was it difficult for you doing the two? I'm not sure, like, time-wise how close you did them together, but was it difficult for you kind of... A month was it? Okay, so did you find yourself kind of saying a lot of the same stuff, or trying to make sure you didn't say the same stuff? Or
no, because what happened was Ice Spots asked me to do one first, and I was going to North Carolina to wrestle for PWX, which is a company over there that's kind of affiliated with Ice Spots. Like, the guy who runs it works for Ice Spots, but it's not run by Ice Spots itself. But anyway, I was there, so they asked me to do one, and I said, fine. So we did it. It was like 2.5 hours, and I enjoyed it. But I felt like, you know, the guy interviewing me didn't know me personally or didn't know my career that well. So his questions were more vague. It was more like, you know, talk about your experiences with PWX. So then I would kind of have to find what to talk about. And then later, Smart Mark asked me to do one because I was going to be in their neck of the woods for the show I did for Dreams, which is Steve Corino's promotion. I wrestled Shane Douglas in a 3.5-minute barn burner at that show. So I was there, and I gladly did it because I hadn't actually seen Mike Burns or any of the Smart Mark guys in so long. And it was a real blast. We were joking on the way there about Heroes Smart Mark video shoot, which I lasted like 7 hours or something. And I was saying, like, fuck, I'm not gonna last. You know, it'll be like 2 hours or something. And it turned out it was like 5 hours. But that's because Mike Burns was asking the question. Sorry, my dog's in the car with me, and he's getting real antsy, so you might hear him complain a little. Anyway, Mike Burns was asking the question, and he knows about my career. He knows a lot of stuff that the High Spots interviewer didn't know, because we worked together, and he's followed me for the last few years, and, you know, through CZW, IWS, and all that stuff. So his questions were a lot more precise, and it was a blast to do that one, too. I may have enjoyed doing the Smart Mark one more, honestly, because his questions would actually bring back memories for me, too, that I'd forgotten, like things I hadn't spoken to or thought of and spoken about or thought of about in years. So it was a real blast, and basically, I mean, I think they're both a little bit different, because in High Spots, I guess I talk more about, I go more in depth about Doc Russo, I think, in the High Spots one than I do in the Smart Mark one. The Smart Mark, I talk about, like, particular matches a lot more, and I don't know. I think I've been told by a lot of people that they've watched both and enjoyed both, so that's really good to know. I mean, when they got released within a week of each other. I was even a little, like, you know, it's it's not the best timing, but whatever. Both companies obviously wanted to get that out as good as they could, and I think both companies made their money off of it, honestly, because it seems like a lot of people just got both, which is great. And honestly, I was actually really touched with the feedback I got from those interviews, because a lot of people told me, like, really good things, like, I don't know, that it was nice. For example, one of the things that kept coming back is that it was nice to see somebody who's not bitter about wrestling and not mad about wrestling and not shitting on everybody. And I think that, I, you know, that meant a lot to me, because, I don't know, it's good to know people like who you are, I guess. So I really appreciated that, and I'm really happy people enjoyed the actual interviews.
Now, one of the characters that came up in the Smart Mark interview, I'm sure he probably came up in High Spots as well, was the illustrious crazy Manny PCP, from IWS. And Uno, what have been your interactions with Mr. Manny, and have you had as hilarious a relationship with him as Kevin has over the years?
I have a good story that I will say about Manny towards the end, but I mean, I always liked the guy. He was really shady in a way. Dose didn't like him at all, but Dose mostly would fight him for money. And because he was,
I believe that's Dose's primary role in your team.
Yes, yes. I get the bookings, and money. He usually fights people. That's how it works. That's like our understanding. And he drives, and I do the conversation, make sure he doesn't drive us into a ditch.
Driving with those two guys, it's great, but it's also, you should hear the shit they talk about just so that they don't fall asleep. Literally, they talk about nothing. It's craziness.
I've spent more time with him than I've... Go ahead.
They just start a conversation out of the blue. Like, I'll be lying down in the back trying to sleep, and I'll just hear Nick or Uno. I'll just hear Uno go, so let's talk about pudding. And they just start talking about it, and they really, really talk about it. Like, pudding is obviously just an example, but they really go, they talk about it in depth. Like, they hit, it's a real thing, even though they're talking about fucking playing harmonica, you know? It's real something.
I actually remember we were having a discussion about something I ate during the week, and we had an intense conversation for about 40 minutes while Kevin was trying to sleep in the back. And at one point, he interrupts us. He's like, guys, how are you even talking about this?
It was fucking so weird. They were talking like they were invested in the fucking talking about Uno's carrots or whatever. It was crazy. Anyway,
and,
it's cute at the same time, though.
I mean, we kind of have to, because I've rode with him for the last 6-7 years. And we're at a point, and we hang out during the week too, so we're at a point we really can't talk about anything else. We know everything about each other. So we just talk about small things, and then try to not fall asleep. It's been our whole plan for driving for the last 7 years. But,
how have you guys not, like, just fallen out with each other just massively? Have you spent that much time? I know Chris Hero and Claudio have talked about how, when they spent that much time together, they just fell out with each other in a big way, and they had to just get away from each other for a long period. And I just don't know how in God's name you guys have managed to stay such a tight unit over the years if you see each other and are around each other that often.
I mean, when we're back at home, we try to keep some distance, but we're in the same group of friends, and, like, he's my closest friend. So when we end up doing things, like, I work a lot and I have a lot of projects, but when I hang out with people, it's usually him. So, I mean, we're really close friends, so it doesn't really bother each other. And I'm not an angry person, so I don't, anything he says that would offend me, I just get over it real quickly. So
I've known him for years and I've never seen Uno mad. I literally don't.
Yeah, I think he is the most laid back wrestler I've ever come across in my life.
I'm the most laid-back human being. For a long time, my my fiance kept saying I was a robot because I was emotionless and I wouldn't be mad at anything. But
what do you do when you get mad? I forget. I remember you was talking about one time you got really mad and you started doing something really weird. What was it?
Oh, yeah. I got really mad at my roommate, Frank, who passed away, because I walked into the house and he was angry. So he took all of our dishes and threw them on the floor and smashed them.
And then, so I walked in. I was like, what the hell? Like, this, why are my dishes smashed? And my Sega Genesis. And, I walked into the living room and he's like, Pierce, he's like, I'm sorry. I was just really angry. And I got really pissed. And instead of confronting him, I just cleaned the entire house for 4 hours.
All right.
That was my way of coping with it. I just furiously washed dishes and furiously washed the floor as he looked at me awkwardly. And as my girlfriend was like, what is going on?
Next time you're mad, Uno, next time you're mad, why don't you come over?
Sure, man. I'll take the two hour and a half bus ride to your place to go clean your dishes.
I would appreciate it thoroughly.
But back on PCB Manny, yeah, I always thought he was a nice guy, but I had one story. Is at an unfucking sanctioned, I had put my sweater in the back room when I went to do my ladder match. And Kevin knows this story. And I came back, and before leaving, I couldn't find him. I was like, what the hell, what happened to my sweater? And I was like, okay, well, whatever. I have other hoodies at home. It doesn't matter. And I told Twiggy about this. I told Porn Star Juan. I told everyone. And then 6 months later, we're at another show. And Twiggy comes running, almost crying. He's like, Uno, you have to come here. Why? I was like, just come here. And I was like, we were at a second floor. He's like, look down in the ring. I look down, and PCP Manny's wearing my sweater. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, he told me he stole it. I was like, what? Yeah, so I guess he stole my sweater, and this whole time he just kept it, never from his own, like his own wrestler on the show. Even though I asked him at the show, has anyone seen my sweater? He just kept it.
Well, now he's in prison, so he's paying the price for his sin.
I'm the one who called the cops. He should have never taken my fucking sweater.
That's awesome. Well, guys, before we get out of here, first off, Kevin, I just want to thank you personally for the very nice mention you gave me on the aforementioned Smart Mark video shoot. That was a very nice surprise, and that made my day when I saw that. But that was really cool, and I thank you for that. And also, I just wanted to give you guys a chance to any plugs you wanted to throw out there. We've hit a lot of stuff upcoming, like the DDT4, but if there's anything else you guys want to make note of to the people, and there's your chance. So, Kevin, the floor is yours first.
Yeah, I mean, thanks, everybody, for all the support all year, all the time. It's the same thing I said last year, but I don't really have anything else to say. I did change my Twitter handle, for those who don't know. I'm no longer KillSteenKill. Because I feel like there's a lot of fucked up shit in the world as it is, and I kind of want to, just sounds wrong now. So I'm Fight Steam Fight, and it doesn't sound as good, and it's not quite as badass, but it's a lot more, I don't know, I like it better. I think it's time for a change. So if you wondered or if you were looking for me for some reason, that's why. And also, my website is no longer in operation either, killsteamkill.com. First, because it was, it seemed like we're having a problem with the host, which is apparently when people would try to log on, it would say that they might get a virus or something. So I figured I'd just get rid of it once I decided to, change mindsets a little bit. And I think me and my webmaster, Dan Mitchell, are going to work on something else. So there's going to be another website eventually. I don't know what it's going to be. But that's basically it. Thanks for all the support. And keep supporting not just me, but everybody, because we all need it. And Merry fucking Christmas.
Merry fucking Christmas, indeed. And Uno, what do you have to tell the people about?
I don't want to repeat what Kevin says, but I might as well. I want to thank everyone for their support. I mean, 2012 is kind of...
You motherfucker.
I'm sorry. You keep stealing what I want to say. I wanted to discuss how we were brothers earlier, but you already mentioned it, and then I had no story. But anyways, I want to thank everyone that supported us, because 2012 was a really big year, and if it wasn't for people supporting us, I'd still be at home, like, eating chips and probably masturbating. And at the same time...
But you don't do that anymore, right?
Never. Never. Because I have a fiancé. I would never do such a thing. Never.
Your fiancé doesn't let you eat chips?
What's that say?
Your fiancé doesn't let you eat chips?
No, she lets me do whatever I want. But it'll change when I get married. Outside of that, I have my usual Twitter handle and Facebook, both as Player Uno. Today I released a teaser for a project that I've been talking about doing for 3 years. And it's the Nerd Slam, it's called. It's like a channel full of weekly content I'm going to release. And if you go
okay,
on...
cool.
What's that?
I said cool.
Yeah, so if you go down to my Twitter or my Facebook, you'll see plenty of me plugging it because that's what I do. And follow that, subscribe that if you like it. If you don't, that's fine. Merry Christmas to everyone. Keep supporting wrestling and keep supporting Alan. He's the best.
No. I'm far from it. But Uno, also a special thanks to you. It's going to be coming in January, the 2012 DKP Pro Wrest Paradise Year in Review Annual, and you have been helping me out with that in the last couple of days, and I thank you.
Alan, remember last year when I sent you my contribution for that the day it got released?
You did, didn't you? Didn't we put it in?
The day after. Yeah, I think you guys added it later, but because I remember you had asked me to do something to, like, contribute, and I hadn't done it. And then when I did it, I read the thing that you put out, and I'm like, oh, right, he wanted me to do this. So I sent it, not realizing that it was set for that. And then I was too late.
Well, I think we got it in there anyway, so if anyone looks
at last week's one, I remember.
So that'll be coming. Dean, I'll give Dean props. He's done great work on that. I have been far behind him in terms of working on that. So thanks to him, and I hope people enjoy that when it comes in the new year. But we've got more still to come from the Christmas show here. So stay tuned. Plenty more still to come. And thanks everyone for listening. And we'll speak to you soon. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
And we are back here on the Christmas show, and Samantha Mumba. She was a good singer, wasn't she?
Oh, God.
Sarah, Samantha Mumba, good singer?
Fantastic singer.
Lorcester, your thoughts on Samantha Mumba?
I don't know.
Keating?
She's good in those Duns ads.
She did Duns ads?
Yeah, for lingerie.
Did she?
Yeah.
No, she didn't.
She did.
Laura, Samantha Mumba.
She had a brother, didn't she? That's all I know.
Laura, you do ballet, correct?
Yes.
Do you use Samantha Mumba and her dance moves as an inspiration for your ballet?
I can't say that I do.
Sing a bit of her song.
No, I don't think I will. Do you remember any?
I don't remember any of her songs.
I don't remember any of her songs either.
That's a good sign.
I remember her
first one where she, you know, the video where she's just walking and all thing. I think it was
like a Mario game.
Not dissimilar. In fact, quite dissimilar.
Pretty sure she jumped on a few Goombas and everything.
Venus flytraps jumped up and tried to eat her.
Where is the Love by Hanson or something? She was in that video.
That doesn't even make any sense.
She also did the one.
It's not recording, is it?
It is recording.
She also did the one with the David Bowie sample.
Who's that? I do remember that.
Body to body.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Who's David Bowie? Anyway.
Punky to punky.
Yes. We're talking about Samantha Mumba.
It wasn't a cover, it was just a sample.
Laura, should be quiet, please.
It was a cover. Exact same as Ashes to Ashes.
Allow me to explain
we
what's going on.
We have to fight over this. It's really important that we fight over this. Yeah, but it was a cover.
It's really
a cover.
Yeah.
It's the same exact melody, just with slightly changed lyrics.
Well, we are here talking about Samantha Mumba.
Stop banging the table.
Quiet you. It's my goddamn radio show.
It's mine now.
We're here talking about Samantha Mumba because I just recorded a segment here on the Christmas show with Sarah, the Lorkster, Keating, and Keating's girlfriend Laura. I don't know why I keep introducing you as Keating's girlfriend Laura. It seems unnecessary.
She has no other skills or talents whatsoever.
But we just recorded a segment on the movie we just watched.
River of Darkness!
River of Darkness, starring Kurt Angle, which may be familiar to listeners of the show from about 2 years ago. Oh, no, a year ago, actually. When I gave, for the first time ever, I outsourced the show to Justin and Derek Bergen and their review of this movie. And it just so happened that my good buddy, the Lorkster here, the world famous... The world famous Lorkster, was in deals in Dunleary and picked this up for $149, Lurkster. Tell people about your decision to purchase this movie.
Yeah, I saw the DVD and I thought, Alan knows those wrestling peoples. I'll get on this DVD. I believe I texted you and said, hey, Alan, the DVD's for sale in deals. And then bought it.
What else did you buy in deals?
I got Keating some CDs.
Got me Hanson.
Hanson. Ja Rule CD.
Got, yeah, Ja Rule
all,
CD.
All the classics. Remind me, Keating, was it Sugar Ray? Sugar Ray.
I remember Sugar Ray.
What else? There's a fourth one.
I don't remember. I've got to be honest, I haven't looked at them since you left them in my house.
All right. Well, there you go.
They will make fine coasters.
It was Hanson.
To remind Keating of his youth.
It was the Hanson reference on the previous attempt to record this, which failed, that led to us talking about Samantha Mumba and... Sarah requested when we re-recorded, we're purely for the record, I think we're all happy to just leave this go, but Sarah was not happy to leave this go. She was going to be crying for the rest of the weekend if we did not re-record this successfully. So we're doing it, and she said we have to recreate all the stuff we said about Samantha Mumba. We have to work that in. So I decided to open the segment just talking about Samantha Mumba.
That's the exact opposite to working it in. That's just bashing it at the
start. That's how I do things. I'm not a subtle man.
No, you're not
a subtle man.
But you have to do this again because the Lurkster's never been on your show, right?
The Lurkster has never been on my show.
You need the Lurkster.
Keating,
the
you
show.
Have I introduced you last time. You are a known commodity to players in the F4W. Fantasy football, NFL, ESPN, and NFL.com Keeper League. You have a big rivalry with one Mr. Wes Destiny, who's probably not listening to this show, but you guys have battled for years. I believe you've met up in halfway between your home and his home and had fistfights.
Yeah, and he cut those promos about me. Yeah. Well, they weren't about me, they were about his fragrance or his bottled water or something. But I knew they were subtly about our rivalry.
Yes, and the Lorkster has never been on the show. Oh, Keating also, I was going to say, appeared in the show drunk about 2 or 3 years ago.
I think I said I liked D'Lo Brown a lot,
and he said something about D'Lo Brown. Yeah, he was very drunk.
I don't remember that very well.
Keating's girlfriend, Laura, has not been on the show before. Laura is looking very pissed off at me saying that again. And the Lorkster, the great man that he is, has also never been on. And you, the listeners, do not know. I wish I could stress to you how amazing an experience this is for you guys to be listening to the Lorkster right here. Make sure anything he says on this segment, note it down, write it down, because it's words of wisdom to live by, quite frankly.
He doesn't say much, but when he does,
oh. And Sarah, you've all heard her before.
Fed up of listening to her.
So you'll speak more into the microphone this time, will you, Sarah, than last time?
I might.
I think you should. The last time, I think I was blowing people's ears out, and they were struggling to put their ears up to the speakers to hear you. So anyway, this movie. First thoughts upon seeing this movie, Sarah. When we turned it on, what was hitting you straight away?
How dreamy Kurt Angle was. Pretty much.
He's pretty dreamy, and you're a fan of his shorts?
A big fan of his shorts, and his hat, and his head.
he has a lovely head.
The whole film was filmed really, really badly. The acting was...
Sensational.
Sensation really bad.
It gave me the sensation of utter disgust, mostly.
That was sensational, would be an apt term. So.
It looked like it was just a parody of something, like you're just going to turn around and you're going to see it's like a classroom watching this.
It was like, film. Have you ever seen a really crap student movie? Well, imagine a parody of that, but crapper. No, wait, it was worse. Lurkster, you explain how bad it was. You're a man of discerning taste, looking at the IMDb page of it.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if what other people, if any of the people in the film have been anything else that I kind of
Kurt Angle's been on WWE Raw as himself, I imagine. We'll leave you to research, shall we? Why don't you introduce us to the box of the DVD and tell us how much it describes the film?
Well, it says here that SFX called it awesomeness.
That's the review on the front. It just and
there's
awesomeness.
Yeah, there's a lot of explosions. There's a different cover on the actual IMDb page to the one on this DVD, because there's a lot of explosions on this DVD that weren't in the film.
There were zero.
Not even close. No explosions.
And it also gets an 18 sticker from the Irish Film Board, which we were debating earlier as, after having watched the film. I don't know if it
deserves it. I think it deserves it for the amount of cursing like a sailor that Kurt Angle did.
I think they just...
Oh, shit this and son of a bitch that. And
damn straight.
Yeah, there was
like, such a badass.
They got 15 from like the British Film Board or something.
They probably actually watched the film.
Yeah, they probably, yeah, I reckon the Irish people just like, whatever.
Let's look shit. Next.
If we put an 18, less people are going to buy that.
They probably watched The Tooth Fairy with the Rocket and gave up on wrestler films after that. Mm-hmm. Although that had that great moment with the dog went crazy. I'm not going to... Don't let me derail you with talking about The Tooth Fairy.
So, Keating and Laura, give us a bit of an idea of the plot of this year movie, how things unfolded.
I just found an amazing trivia fact on IMDb about Jason Wynn, J.B. Destiny Bareford, who played Deputy Westerman. Is that the assistant to the sheriff?
I think it is. He was our favorite character.
Here's the trivia fact on the IMDb for him. Holds the Guinness World Record for most consecutive kicks to one's own head in 60 seconds. There you go.
That is amazing.
He managed to kick himself in the head 57 times in 1 minute to break the previous record.
Well,
of 42.
Let's talk a bit about this man. He was an amazing, intriguing character on the show. He was Angle's deputy, the sheriff's deputy, Warren G. reference I will leave out. His acting acted like a man who has been kicked in the head by himself several times, unprotected.
Phone rings, looks at the computer.
Yeah, his...
That kind of thing.
He would sit in his, like, office, which was just this bare wall with a bare table in front of him and a plain phone sitting as the only thing on the table. And he'd sit there and the phone would ring and it would be a mother saying, "My daughter just got killed going to look for nightcrawlers in the garden."
You say she was looking for nightcrawlers?
It's like, huh, nightcrawlers, huh?
Who was this? Your daughter?
3 hours ago, you say? What? Was she alone? So, yeah, he was terrible as far as helping these, like, crazed people who were concerned about their loved ones dying.
He kind of annoyed to answer the phone every time.
Yeah, he was just happy to just be sitting there and not having it. He was like, "Oh, fine, your daughter, fine, we'll be there, I'll fucking do something. Oh, this fucking selfish bitch letting her daughter die. I just want to chill out here this evening." That was kind of his attitude. So he was an incredible man. I enjoyed him greatly in this movie. We should note, Keating, you can tell people about Kurt Angle's big rival in the movie and the storyline there.
Yeah, one of my all-time favorite wrestlers named after something to do with ice, Glacier, was in the film.
Yes.
He was tremendous.
Ray Lloyd of GWF fame.
He was Kurt's rival in law enforcement. He didn't get elected sheriff. I didn't know they elected
sheriffs. Yeah, the sheriff election was referenced.
Like, yeah, they elected
like
Kurt instead of Glacier. Like, which one of these pro wrestlers should be elected sheriff? Both of them look like logical, sensible law enforcers.
Yeah, they like put up a picture of both in their like pre-match pose, like Glacier with his mask and everything.
I said they went up with speeches, and Kurt just pulled down the straps. And was like, "Oh, we'll pick him.
They just aired Glacier's vignettes and you didn't actually get to see the person. It's like, he's coming if you vote for him.
That would win me over. I'd completely vote for him once that was all I saw. But he played Kurt's big rival and he decided to take the law into his own hands. And Kurt didn't like that. And they clashed a little. They had a great moment of just staring at each other. Forgetting their lines, maybe, but just staring at each other.
I think what happened was Glacier just said his bit, and Kurt was supposed to say his bit, but nothing was happening. They were staring at each other, and then we just see the camera on Kurt. I think while the camera was on Kurt, Glacier was mouthing Kurt's lines to him, and then Kurt said his lines.
But it just made for an epic
Kurt
confrontation.
Kurt was probably drunk during a lot of the filming of this. Either drunk or had just taken a lot of pain pills, one or the other.
He was very calm. Like even for someone who's been attacked by zombie pirate Kevin Nash is...
Yeah, the zombies we haven't mentioned in this go-round who our zombies were. Kevin Nash of zombie fame from the last movie we reviewed here on the show. And Sid Vicious, who his best moment in the movie was when he stuck a knife in a man and held it in his stomach and then made all the motions and facial expressions that he'd make while he's goozling someone before a chokeslam. So I enjoyed that. Sid was
quite great here. And there was a third mysterious zombie who... Larkster, did you get the third zombie on the IMDb there?
Oh, sorry. It was... Let's see. There was Kevin Ash, Sid...
Don't click on it.
Bill Lang.
Bill Lang.
Don't know who that is. I liked Kevin Nash's... He got the only, I think, zombie line, and Kurt shot him, and he said, "Already dead." And that was it. That was all he said for the whole film.
Well, Nash usually just gets these parts based on his good looks, like his role in... Sarah, what's the movie called?
Monster Brawl?
No.
Punisher?
Punisher. No.
Universal Soldier?
The one where he's a stripper.
The Longest Yard?
The one where he's a stripper.
Magic Mike.
Why did you watch a film where Kevin Nash was a stripper?
I haven't seen it yet.
We
haven't seen it yet. We're going to watch it once it comes out.
No, we're not going to.
Sounds like a delightful couple's evening.
I am not watching.
Oh, Kevin Nash is a stripper. What could be better? Some popcorn, bottle of wine. Oh, Alan doesn't drink, but, you know, you can knock back a bottle of wine and watch him strip.
I think I need to start drinking to watch Kevin Nash stripping.
And if you pain pills when you're at it.
Yeah, true. So the movie was... awful in terms of, like, production, and cheesy lines every 5 seconds was great. Kurt Angle, like, looking at the situation where people were murdered and be like, "Looks like we got trouble," and stuff like that.
They weren't even funny cheesy, they were just bad cheesy.
It was just weak cheesy lines, but amazing cheesy lines. And
can I tell you about my favourite part?
Yes.
I like that Kurt's hat was all his acting. Chris Hatt did his acting for him by... Well, you said it was his straps. It played his straps. So shit got real if he took his hat off. Are you pointing at me? Plot keywords on IMDb according to the Lorkster. Can you read them for us?
Sheriff, bad acting, three-word title, river, and revenge.
I think bad acting sums it up probably the best.
Is three-word title, does that have some kind of negative connotation in the movie world these days?
For a second I thought he read it wrong and it said three-world titles.
Three times. three world titles. That's about the number I think Kurt's got. If you exclude TNA, which I obviously do.
Does he have 20,000 world titles changing every week there?
Probably he has a bunch. Laura, you've been quiet on this go around. Fill us in with some thoughts on the movie. Putting you on the spot here.
Tell us about when you got scared.
Oh, yeah!
People need to know. That's James Keating's girlfriend, Laura, got scared.
I will tell everyone about when Laura got scared. Laura, in this preposterously fake-looking, just impossible-to-believe is real for Get Lost in a Moment or any of those kind of things.
Can I set some like creepy mute music?
Yeah, it was just, you could not take this movie seriously. And as they're doing one cheesy scene where a dude is creeping up on another dude and there's like a shadow in the background, Laura was jumping out of her skin.
I jumped once. It's a scary shadow.
It was weak.
That alternate box on IMDb is totally, it's actually even worse than that one. On the alternate box, Kurt Angle is wearing like SWAT team gear and like 20 grenades and with 5 guns. And if the explosions were bad enough.
Oh dear.
He has a shotgun at one point. That's the extent of the action.
Let me see this.
The hunt is mostly Kurt Angle trying to figure out what the hell's going on and not believing any of the answers he gets.
It's mostly him going and asking the same guy who works on the bait shop questions.
Like, no one will answer any of his questions at all. Yeah. What's going on?
This definitely brings back, I know this is something Justin and Derek talked about when they reviewed it, just this cover of Kurt with all this gear on that was in no way anything like the movie. Lorkster, you've been quiet also. How about you fill people in on the aspect of the story involving the three students/porn stars who were going ghost hunting on the river?
They were going, they were going ghost hunting in a boat. One of them got pulled overboard.
They were real bitches, the girls.
You're not really selling how much they seemed like porn stars. It's like they're kind of flirting with the guy at the petrol station. Like, oh, hey, Phil.
But also being really way too sassy to him. I told you, just unnecessary.
I think you're overplaying their,
the best thing about the whole movie. Was when they were gone and cursed.
I hated the fact that one of them got to do a monologue at the end that was like a rip-off of the little girl's monologue in The Crow at the end of that movie, which, as people probably know, is my favorite movie of all time. And when you blatantly rip off and piss on the good work of The Crow, I get angry.
You're just lying. Your favorite movie of all time is Madagascar.
She was the girl who did the thing at the end was also the one at the start.
Whoa.
Which one
is
the actually
on that is.
You might not have been paying attention at the
what
start.
What a twist.
But she was at the start and
she was the one that got stabbed and all. Was she?
No, she
shot
the person.
Scene. Oh, right.
Spoiler.
I got given
A2 for spoilering last time, so you should give an A2.
Considering the movie has already been reviewed in detail on the show a year ago, I think we're safe from that.
And we're trying to stop you watching it. You, our glorious
yeah,
listeners.
Yeah, we're doing a service here.
Taking
by,
over the show, I told you. This is my show now.
Yeah, so, I think that was it. Was there anything else that we recorded last time that you desperately wanted to get in this time?
No.
No?
No, I think it was a lot quieter this time as well, but I just want to say it is now the 17th of November.
It is Christmas Eve.
It's Christmas, woohoo!
Sarah is lying through her teeth. She wishes it was the 17th of November.
She's like so drunk right now.
I have eaten 12 mince pies in the last hour, and happy Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And I think... We're all content now that we've re-recorded this. It's all good.
I didn't get the same line about the guy in the petrol station called Phil who worked in Filler Up, not filling up the porn star students.
Oh, yes.
We'll just let that go, will we?
What was your other joke?
Oh, yeah. when the guy turned around, he got stabbed with a fish hook. He kind of looked confused about Kevin Nash being there. He was thinking, I fish hook you for someone else.
He said this during the movie as his half kid. He goes, oh, I fish hooked you for someone else.
It's such a good line, man. It's genius.
Oh.
That should have been in it.
I'm shaking.
I do say so myself.
I'm shaking my head here.
We never get to talk about Cisco either.
Cisco. Samantha Mumba's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. That was very disappointing we didn't get to talk about Cisco.
We didn't say much about him. Lorkster impressed me by knowing Cisco's band before being just Cisco.
Yes, and Drew Hill.
Drew Hill, indeed.
You should have given people a chance to guess. You know, can you guess?
Can you name three Cisco songs?
Don't think so.
No, I think
give you a clue. One of them involves thongs.
Yeah, even one song. I don't know if we name.
I was a big Cisco fan to the point that I dyed my hair platinum blonde. And although it didn't have the same effect on me as a pale white man as it does on Cisco as a black man, he had that kind of sweet daddy seeky look going. So anyway.
Merry Christmas again.
Merry Christmas.
Stop waffling out of it again. Now.
We'll be back after the break with a segment that I will at some point in the next 6 weeks decide I want to have on the Christmas show. Oh, oops.
And then that one will be about wrestling.
Yes.
Is this not going out live?
I promise Lurks he was airing live worldwide right now. But anyway. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Merry Christmas for the third time.
Oh, Laura's singing. Keep going, Laura. No? Oh, she just shut up right when I gave her attention.
Hear it.